Welcome back to this week's episode of the Cover Zero Podcast. It is our Week 9 recap show. Very glad to be back on the mic, blessing you guys with everything that we saw in Week 9. So sorry we were unable to make it to you last week, but I'm here tonight. First, joined by Corday. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. A little tired, but I'm here. Love to see football, man.
Love to see football on a Sunday, unless you might be like my other guy joining us tonight, Jay.
I'm glad he said that, because you know what I was gonna say? Don't ask me how I'm doing, man. Don't ask me how I'm doing, man. I'm feeling the same way I've been feeling the last 2 weeks, bro. The last outside of the Texan game, that's the way I felt last week, and I wasn't, you know, we weren't able to, you know, go into that and discuss that because, you know, connection issues or whatever. But yeah, the way I felt last week is the same way I feel this. Matter of fact, even worse. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. not a good week for a Raider fan.
Yes. Aside from our team doing all that, we're gonna break into everything that we saw this weekend. As you guys know, our ICUs, our what's going on, what made us take notice, and what made us ask that exact question. But before we get there, the Sunday night game was actually one that a lot of people should have been tuning into, considering the records. But some may have not believed it to be the game that it ended up being, based on who's under center and how at times this Titans offense outside of Derrick Henry has looked. But nonetheless, the Titans lose to the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17 in overtime. And it was really a game of two different styles. They kept talking about it. The Chiefs just throwing the ball all over the yard, dropping back time after time again. And the Titans really looking to establish it on the ground and try to work through it that way. I'm going to start with you, Corday. What was the thing that jumped out to you the most about why the Titans were able to keep it close?
Man, just dominating. Well, first off, they started dominating the running game. Derrick Henry was getting loose on this Chiefs defense. But then only that, just the multitude of ways they had of D-linemen getting after Patrick Mahomes and not letting him get free. He got free sometimes, but most time they was getting to him or applying pressure and having him like scramble around and try to look to other receivers. And then also got to give a shout-out to the DBs because they was locking up a lot of the wide receivers. Kelce was being, like, bracketed and, like, they was sticking to him like glue with the coverage. And it just shows the depth that they have on this team. I remember Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth was both saying, like, how many guys they have on this team. And then Mike Tirico just made a great point. He was like, this team has so much depth that you don't even know the players. He's like, because they're making so many different plays out here, and a lot of the guys you don't know or haven't heard of. And they said the GM, because they play so physical and the style they play in, that he has to have a ton of people on their practice squad. And I was like, and it makes sense because I'm looking around, I'm like, this who? Like, this person's out, but another person fills in an incredible role, making a ton of plays, playing great coverage. And then I was looking, watching the game, and I'm like, hold up, is that Farley? Wait, is that their first round pick from 2 years ago that's just on special teams? He's not even starting? And I'm like, wow, he's not even starting, and they're still locking stuff down. And I was also like, he's back? So it shows the testament how great Mike Vrabel is as a coach, and how, because most of they was leading this entire game. Like, it was 17-9
since like yesterday.
Yeah.
I swear. It was 17-9 for so long.
Yeah. All they needed was like another big like Derrick Henry bust for like 60 yards and just be in the red zone, and then it'd have been good because their field goal kicker was missing extra points and missed the whole field goal too. So the morale was down, or the momentum was on the Titans side for most of this game. I was really enjoying it.
Jay, to you, this Titans defense, just what players really do you, I guess, like, because you got to give props to this Titans defense, living in the Chiefs how they did. It was looked really, really hard for them to move the ball, even though, like, the total yards were there. There right. just wasn't the explosive plays that we're accustomed to seeing or thinking of when it comes to Kansas City's offense. What players that really jumped out to you on this Titans defense, or what plays really, like, stole the show for you when you were watching this game?
I mean, man, you got to start with the defensive line, man. You have to start that defensive line. I mean, the secondary, I mean, play really well. You know, we talked about, you know, Corday brought up the tight end, Travis Kelce, and he brought up Juju and whatnot. And although they got their yards, the secondary kept them out of the end zone. You know, mm-hmm. they weren't able to get no touchdowns. But it started with that defensive line. The defensive line really got after it. Autry is a guy that you gotta bring him up. He had 2 sacks, you know, and he's just a consistent player, bro. He's been consistent. He's been consistent since he came into the league. It would have been a player the Raiders should have kept. I would start with him. Jeffrey Simmons, he balled out on the defensive line. He didn't have any sacks, but just the pressure, you know, that he brings, you know, allowing other guys to get open. You know, Mario Edwards Jr., another Raider, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He came in with the sack and whatnot. So he played well, you know. So those are the players to me that really stood out on that defensive line. And then I can't get the guys, the linebacker's name, number 53. I mean, he made some really clutch tackles. You know, I know they was trying to run.
That was Dylan Cole.
Yeah, Dylan Cole. Dylan Cole. So he played really well as well. And there was a I think it was a play where they went for it on fourth. It was like fourth and one and whatnot, and they gave it to Hilaire, and it looked like he was about to get the first down, but I mean Cole just came in with the tackle, and really they lost yards, you know, so he wasn't able to get that first, so he was clutch. So yeah, those players right there, Kevin Byard, Jordan, your guy, he was out there, he played really well. The defense played out. Those are the players that really stood out to me, you know, that made things difficult for Patrick Mahomes, you know, and that's where I would go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm totally there with you. It's just funny, this Titans defense, it seems like week in and week out, they get contributions from guys that, oh, that dude's on that team, or who is that dude, to some degree. I remember this season, it was when the Raiders played the Titans, and of course, I watch a ton of All-22, but it's one thing as a staple of my All-22 watching is rewatching every Raider game on the All-22 film, and there's always a couple of players that will pop out on film that I know, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Byard doing something, or if you're playing against the Chiefs, you know who the good players are. But I remember watching on the All-22 and seeing David Long Jr., number 51. Just this dude is everywhere. He's so active and athletic. There was just times where like linemen would get down to the second level and they try to get their hands on him, and his pull move or his just rip move would get their hands off him and be able to have enough agility to then track down a linebacker in space or cover a receiver in a zone drop. Like, the different types of contributions that they're getting from the David Longs, from the Dylan Coles, even like Edwards and Autry. I mean, these are the names that people don't necessarily know. I mean, how many players, Jay, do you think the average fan knows on this Tennessee Titans defense by name?
Not many. Not many. I mean, you got to do what we do, you know. I mean, really watch the games and follow all the teams around the league. But yeah, not many.
Not many. And it seems like just how like the narrative works within the NFL, like the announcers will start to know the names. Collinsworth, of course, is really good at pointing them out. And it's just, I feel like a matter of time until David Long Jr. is going to be getting that pub as well. Offensively, from this Kansas City team, Patrick Mahomes, just again, it wasn't always pretty because he was under so much pressure at certain points, but the totality of his day today, he was the difference maker on the field in terms of both sides of the ball. 509 yards combined on the ground and through the air, 446 specifically passing and 63 on the ground.
63 on the ground. Say that again.
63,
63
on the ground.
63 yards on the ground.
It's crazy, man.
And I know Titan fans, they hearing this, I know they mad, but it's just the facts, bro. This is just how good this dude is. I mean, the game looked like it was over, but you can't count them out. You just can't, because they got so many misdirection plays. I mean, there was times where it looked like Patrick Mahomes. Now, he went down a lot. He got sacked four times, but when the game was on the line, he was able to break free and got a first down. I think it was like 15, 20 yards he ran, and then after that, boom, he ran in. Oh, no, I think it was that one play. He ran for like 20 yards. It was a touchdown. And next thing you know, they go for two, and it just like, you know, at that point, it kind of like sucked the life out of the Titans. I mean, you seen him on the sideline. You seen Derrick Henry. He looked disappointed. You know, it just you know, you knew where it was going to go once he, you know, they had the ball left with enough time. I ain't going to say a lot of time. It wasn't a lot.
Right.
Enough for them. It's enough for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Enough for the Chiefs to do it. And, I mean, you got to give Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator for the Titans, credit, because as hard as the Chiefs are to play and playing against, when it all came down to it, right, he had everything covered except for Mahomes scrambling and making people miss in the open field, picking up yardage where you didn't necessarily think it was, beating your twists and your stunts. It's just, this guy always has a different answer. And I've said it before, he is like Jason Voorhees. You think he's dead. You think you got him. No, you're not. He's going to come back and kill you.
You know, I like that reference. I like that reference.
I've said this for a while. He's like Jason Voorhees. So he just keeps coming back. And now he went and sent the Titans to the graveyard and drowned all of them in Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, this year, he's just on a tear right now, and he's doing it in a different way. It was at this time last year, if you guys remember, what are the two high coverages doing to Patrick Mahomes? Oh, my goodness, he's turning the ball over. The Chiefs' offense this, the Chiefs' offense that. Now he's lost Tyreek Hill, right? Tyreek Hill's obviously doing crazy damage over there in Miami, right? And yet this Chiefs' offense is still humming. He's just finding different ways to be able to break the back of opponents. And even though he's in our division, and I hate seeing it when he does it to the Raiders, and I just can't, I'm not a Chiefs fan, obviously division rivals, you know how it is, but you have to be able to admire greatness when you're as close to the sport as we are. And that's just something I can't help but do again, watching him do this tonight.
Right.
Speaking of admiring greatness, we're going to move into our ICU portion of the week.
What's up, player? I see you.
Wait, we got to do exactly that. Who made us? Who earned our admiration? And who is deserving of the flowers that we got to give them? I'm going to start with you tonight, Corday. Normally, you aren't on the Sunday shows. Want to see what your take is. Who is your first ICU?
Man, I got to give it to a man who's who been having a rough year. His team currently has a losing record right now, but he out here balling. And it looks like not only that, but the team is actually believing in him and designing stuff to for him to help his team win. And he balled today. And that's Justin Fields.
What's up, player? I see you.
This man was out here balling. He had three touchdowns in the air and then ran for 178 yards, breaking Mike Vick's old record. We all know and saw the highlight when it's like, go, Mike Vick, go, Mike Vick, where he runs. Yeah,
I know what highlight you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was a Falcon.
He collides to the two dudes, and he runs and scores in overtime against the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. He broke that record where I think Mike Vick got 172 yards in that game, and Justin Fields had 178. Now, he did this, and he didn't win on a questionable call, like a non-pass interference call when Chase Claypool was there.
That was just straight up PI they missed. That's what it was.
Literally was being pulled and jerked to the side. He turned his whole body. The DB was and then they called no pass interference, and that should have been a PI, and they should have won that game. But I have to give a big shout-out to Justin Fields because these last four games, they've been implementing a lot of QB runs in the system. And they don't have a lot of weapons there in Chicago. They traded for Chase Claypool, which should help him out a lot. And they're designing the offense to suit his best traits. I remember they wasn't doing that in the beginning of the season. Matt Nagy didn't do that last season. That's why he got fired. And now I feel like the Chicago is actually believing in him. I can't wait to see more. Shout out to you, Justin Fields.
Bro, when he takes off running, I noticed this really going back and watching the All-22 of the one where they really started to tap into this QB design run game for him. Mm-hmm. When he takes off and like gets north, that dude eats grass like one of the fastest players in the league with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And you notice they get him out on the edge, and he knows when to cut it up north. He just has that innate ability to do it. And he pulls away from DBs, and he pulls away from linebackers. But then you forget kind of how big he is in comparison to like other guys on the field. And you saw it today. You saw this today throughout the examples and many plays today, where he had the 61-yard run that was effortless. There was a 3rd and 8 where he scrambled up the middle and picked up like 15, but like reverse pirouetted away from run or away from a rush, and then like just burst through the middle and split defenders. I mean, he also had that touchdown to Darnell Mooney in the left corner of the end zone in the second quarter. That was just like, oh, okay. He was doing it both ways, and it sucks how the game ended. But yeah, that's a really good one right there. Another team moving a little bit further east that we also got to do. Jay, also with you, Corday. Who's your ICU, Jay?
I got the Jets, man. I got the Jets.
What's up, player? I see you.
You know, this defense, I guess the whole team, but, and you know what, too, shout out Zach Wilson. You know, that's somebody who just hasn't been playing well all season at all. You know, I mean, when you look at how he's been playing, you wouldn't think the Jets would have this record. You would think he would be a part of that, but he hasn't been, you know. And today he played really, really well today, man. He didn't have no interceptions, which was good. He maintained that. He had a touchdown, a QB rating of 100. You know, he completed 18 of 25 of his passes and whatnot, and he had a 17, yeah, right, that would be terrible, a 72 completion rate, you know. So, I mean, he balled out, man. He balled out. But this defense, this is just something that we've been talking about, you know, all season. Well, for the most part, probably since week three.
Yeah.
Kind of taking it serious.
Yep.
And I wish we was able to record on Tuesday. Again, you know, just this connection issues or whatever. But I thought I wanted to really get on this. I wanted to really talk about if they can keep the game close. Like, I didn't think they was going to be able to do it. I didn't. Yeah. I thought it would be close up until about maybe the mid quarter, and then the Bills would start to pull away. And it was kind of really the opposite, because it was really the Bills started to score. They went up. They basically went up. It was 14 to 10. So you started to think, it was 14 actually before they had 10. And you just start to think, okay, they pulling away a little early. And then they put it to the Jets, end up putting a touchdown up. And then it became, okay, you know, 14 to 10. But you just thought at some point the Bills were going to be able to pull away. And that just wasn't the case. And I give credit to Garrett Wilson, who Jordan, this was, and Cordae, I think this was our number one wide receiver coming out. I know for a fact that, you know,
it was
our number one wide receiver coming out. And he played really, really well. Another game for him. He's had about three solid games this year.
Denzel Mims, he got a catch today. I'm going to die on this hill.
Stop it, Jordan.
I'm going to die on this hill. I don't care.
I love it. I love it. You got to stick with your guys, man. I love it. The defense, man. I mean, Sauce Gardner again. You know, my guy played well, man.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's playing really good, man. And the confidence is just going up, bro. As the week goes, the confidence is going up with it. You know, and then you look at CJ Mosley. He played well today. You know, I think he led the team in tackles. He had one sack as well. This defense just doing it all. Quinnen Williams, who played solid. He had a sack today. You know, so this defense is everything. And I noticed this with Josh Allen, man. When you're able to really disrupt him, and I mean like bringing him down, you know, getting the sack, defense is getting the sacks. He just start like mentally, I don't know if it gets to him or what, but then he starts to turn over the ball.
He did not look like himself a lot of plays.
Yeah. Even last week. I think it was the last week or the week before. He didn't look the same. So, you know, I think it was last week.
Yeah, the Packer game.
Yeah, he would bounce back, you know, and not really. He didn't bounce back. You know, he ran into a buzzsaw defense. Shout out the Jets. Shout out the defense, Robert Saleh, and the couple offensive players that we named. They're doing their thing over there, man. Nobody thought this team would be this good right now.
Yeah.
I did not think, you know, but they're doing the right things over there. So yeah, shout out to them. I see you.
Cordae, you wanted to add on to the Jets as well. This team really coming into this game, did you think they had any chance to really get the victory that they ended up acquiring today?
I, like Josiah said, I thought it was going to be close at one point, and then I thought eventually the Bills was going to pull away, and especially because I heard what Zach Wilson saying leading up to this week, because he gave away the Patriots game last week by throwing three interceptions. He literally said, well, you know, we have to make better plays and I have to try to throw it away. But I don't like throwing away. It's just something I don't like to do. I like to – I'm like, bro, what? So I thought he was going to be prone to more interceptions this game. And then it was going to be like the defense is going to be on the field a lot more because Zach Wilson's not taking care of the ball. But because they didn't do that, we see how good this defense is and how much they're forming into a really good defense. Also, Jermaine Johnson was making a few plays out there, their third first-round pick, who fell to the back fell down towards like the back end of the first round, and I was like, okay, we're getting plays out of all the guys, you know. Sauce Gardner, and he's earning the name Sauce Gardner. I know his teammates said you gotta earn it. They call him Sauce out there now. He got the sauce on him for sure. And yeah, man, and Saleh has the necessary tools on defense at corner and linebacker. You mentioned CJ Mosley and at D line, and it was all coming together and just keep it down or keep turnovers down on offense. And James Robinson made a few plays as well. The former running back for the Jaguars came over in a trade for a 6th-round pick, which is still a steal to me. I'm just like, can nobody else trade for him? I'm like, and he's still on his rookie deal, so he's cheap too. So I'm just like, I don't understand why you gave him up so easily. But yeah, he definitely made a few plays, and it's looking nice over there for the New York Jets.
I thought today with this game in particular, so far throughout the time that Zach Wilson has came back, because he was out earlier to start the year out. But since he's came back, I've been following his development, and it's just like you were talking about, Jay, it's, and you too, Cordae, it's looked bad. And more so than just the turnovers and the plays that he isn't making, to me, what it was that really jumped out prior to this game was how he was dealing with pressure, or how he was, how his pocket navigation was so bad, and he wasn't able to be able to function, or he was bailing from pockets when he didn't need to. And coming into this game against the Jets, they're the team that led the NFL going into this game in pressure rate. So I thought it was just going to be an ultimate like disaster when you get that type of pass rush going up against a quarterback who has had the issues that Zach Wilson has had as far as dealing with pressure. And today he had Josh Allen ended up having twice as many sacks as more than that as Zach Wilson. The Jets only gave up, only allowed two sacks, and Josh Allen went down five times today. So, I mean, I just didn't think you'd see that type of a game swing. Like, the stat line to me, if you were to block out the names and just see like, oh, 18 of 34 for 205 yards, two sacks, and he got two interceptions, and he got sacked five times. Yeah, that sounds like Zach Wilson. No, that was Josh Allen's line today. And a lot of that is the reason why I think the game was as close as it was. And just hats off to this Jets defense and Robert Saleh, man, doing good stuff over there. My ICU I have is today, it's got to be Joe Mixon for me.
What's up, player? I see you.
Hey.
Got to be Joe Mixon today. And sure, there's, you could say, oh, well, they're playing against the Panthers, a team that is likely going to be fighting for that number one overall spot. But there's one thing you also know in the NFL, the only thing you can do is beat who's in front of you. And any time, any given Sunday, if you don't go ahead and beat the brakes off a team that's in front of you that you should beat the brakes off, that really shows what type of team you are or what type of team you are not. And this was a way that the Bengals showed who they are. No Ja'Marr Chase. We all know that. And so they go into this game and their run game has had some issues. Joe Mixon's yards per carry have not looked good all throughout the course of this season. And today, that man was a problem. That man was a problem. And it was how they were tapping into it. When you get a player like Mixon getting loose like he did, and then him just adding to what the foundation that the run game actually put in there, or that the run blocking, I should say, actually put in. I also got to give a little bit of credit to the offensive line with this one. I mean, the first play that really jumps out to me, it was 10 minutes and 27 seconds left in the first quarter, right? Very, very early in the game. Bengals come out in 11 personnel in a 3-by-1, and they run an inside run called duo. I've talked about it various times on the show. They run a sift block with Hayden Hurst, basically the tight ends running behind the line of scrimmage from left to right. And he hits Brian Burns and folds this dude on the edge of the line of scrimmage. Meanwhile, Alex Kappa and Ted Karras, they get a perfect double team on Derek Brown at the point of attack. And just as Karras gets a turn on Derek Brown, Kappa climbs to the second level and just gets a body on Shaq Thompson. And it just sets up an easy walk-in touchdown for Joe Mixon. I mean, it was plays that just you saw all over the course of the field today. They were running GT counter, which is like dual pullers with Cordell Volson and Jonah Williams. Joe Mixon's untouched for 8 yards, but then once he gets into the secondary, he picks up like another 25, 30, just high-stepping through tackles. It was really crazy to see today. And he even was doing it as a receiving threat, too. He did damage on a couple of screens today. There was a 3rd and 10 on Carolina's 12-yard line, right? Bengals have the ball. 3rd and 10, so they can still get the first down if they want to. They come out in 11 personnel, but they go empty backfield. Burrow bails from the pocket. He's rolling right. Now it's a scramble drill. And there's like maybe only 4 seconds left in the half, and they don't have a timeout. So if he doesn't get this one, then they're going to have to settle. But he fires this missile into the back of the end zone. And if you slow down the broadcast view on this one, Mixon's like in the back corner, and he's kind of like chilling. It's like man-to-man coverage. He sees the dudes on him. He knows his route's done. He has to do something to help out his quarterback. Right. And he like reverse pivot, spins away from coverage. He falls down. Like he basically like falls down trying to make something happen. Burrow, by the time this already happened, had let the ball go. Mixon gets up, keeps his feet in bounds, catches the ball, and toe taps on the sideline before falling out of bounds. I mean, it was just pretty incredible watching all the things that he was able to do today. And by the end of it all, it was a rout for sure. But Joe Mixon finishes with 22 carries, 150 yards, 4 touchdowns, 7 yards per carry on the ground, 4 grabs for 58, and another touchdown. 5 TDs and 208 total yards on the day. He becomes the 6th player in the Super Bowl era with 5 TDs and 200 scrimmage yards. And guess what? All 5 of those TDs came in the first 3 quarters of the game. He didn't even do it in the 4th quarter. And he was 1 shy of the record for a non-QB in terms of total touchdowns in one game. Yeah. Really, really crazy stuff right there, man. Really crazy stuff.
It's amazing what, like, when you look at it, 153 yards, averaged 7 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. And like you said, he killed in the passing game too. So, I mean, you got to give him – he just took over the game, took over. And like you said, like, I mean, Carolina or whatever, you know, you can say what you want. But like you said, you brought up a good point. You only could play who's in front of you. I mean, you know, period. And if it was always, well, it's Carolina or it's this sorry team or this sorry team, that means any running back will be able to get off. That means any play caller will be able to dial stuff like that up for their running back. And that's not the case. Joe Mixon is a real talent. And he's been that way. That's another thing, too. So anybody that thinks, well, it's just Carolina, you it can't be the case. Joe Mixon been a baller. So,
yeah. You know. They tried.
Playing well the last few weeks as well, too. So that's definitely – they didn't look like a scrub like this week. Like, I remember they lost last week by literally in overtime by a field goal to the Falcons. So. Nah, they've been playing pretty well since Steve Wilks taking over. It was at that one game they got blown out, but coming to this game, it looked like it was actually going to be kind of competitive. And then Joe Mixon decided to say, "Nah, bro, we're changing that."
Yeah. He did. Like it was Carolina was they were out there for most of the game. You know, you saw a lot of 11 personnel. And for everybody listening, that's one receiver or three receivers, one tight end, one running back. For everybody listening, 11 personnel, and that was their base formation for pretty much most of the day today. And so Carolina, of course, is going to match that with nickel, like, you know, 5 DBs, 2 backers, and 4 down linemen. But Mixon's running all over them. So in like the second quarter, they switched it up and went to a 5-man front. So it was a nickel 3-3-5 look, basically. But they took 2 outside linebackers and dropped them onto the edge of the line of scrimmage so that they could basically like, all right, we ain't going to have all these double teams working. We're going to just go hat up and then let our linebackers try to make plays and maybe suck the safety down into the box. And they already had 100 yards on the ground. So like, we can't let them do this. So Cincinnati goes under center from 11, runs a pin and pull run play where basically the receiver cracks the end man on line of scrimmage. Freaking poor Brian Burns. He was just getting hit from all directions today. They were like, we're either going to hit him straight up or we're going to hit him in the side of his ear hole. And it just ended up happening where they had the tight end Mitchell Wilcox and Jonah Williams pull to the left. And it was so cool. Like Wilcox shoots to the third level, right, to get to the safety. He runs past Shaq Thompson to do this because he knows that Jonah Williams is like pulling behind him and just like 2 great seal blocks. And there's a perfect sidewalk for Mixon to go. And it was just, it was really good to see the offensive line give him a chance and then him to put his own like spice to it. That's really what we saw today. We will now move to the other side of it over here. We will now slide our way into, well, before we do that, Cordae, you had one more ICU that also segues into our what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which team was that today?
Shout out to the Detroit Lions.
What's up, player? I see you.
Winning today. They only had one win this year, but they played really well against the Green Bay Packers. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a game that the Packers was going to get it right. And they ended up forcing Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't throw picks, into 3 interceptions today, frustrating the hell out of him. Yelling, cussing at people. Like, a lot of times they've been complaining all year about receivers not being on the same page, but the Lions made Rodgers look bad today. Like, really bad. Not even, like, accurate. Just throwing, like, terrible pass off his back foot. He threw 2 interceptions on the goal line. He hasn't done that in his whole entire career. This Lions defense, as we was talking about it before we started the pod, average usually gave up like 32 points a game. So to only give up 9 to the Packers, especially with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, that's amazing for these young Detroit Lions. And before that, just to show how bad this Lions team has been playing, they averaged 32 points as of this week. 2 weeks ago, they was averaging 37 points given up by this defense. So they made changes. They fired their defensive backs coach and hopefully go.
Yeah.
Hopefully it keeps going well for these Detroit Lions and they start winning some games. Jamison Williams, I'm not sure when he should come back. He should be cleared pretty soon, though, because I know OBJ just got cleared and Jamison tore his ACL, I think, a few weeks before OBJ. So hopefully that adds more firepower to this Lions offense and they can keep on winning.
Which, as you were talking about, you had to pay attention and take notice and give props to the Detroit Lions team. That brings us into our what's going on for the week.
Hello, Cover Zero. This is the NFL Exec Office. How can I help you today?
What is going on?
Of course, mine, piggybacking off that, is Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
What is going on?
We had talked about this off air, and there's been a lot of talk about how there's not a lot of playmakers over there in Green Bay. When are they going to try to make a move to get him a receiver, especially since Devontae Adams is in Vegas? And this is really the first week where the onus to me is on Aaron Rodgers. Not only, like you brought up, Cordae allowing 32 points per game defensively for Detroit, but they've also allowed 421 yards of offense. Both are league lows in the entire league. And today, Aaron Rodgers just had one of the worst games I can remember to date from him personally. We all saw him last week in the postgame presser 2 weeks ago saying, well, I had a perfect grade. All these other guys need to go ahead and step it up. Mm-hmm. Well, now, Aaron, your grade is not going to be perfect at all. Yeah. Because it started at 4:23 in the first quarter, bro. First and goal, right? The Packers call an RPO from the 5. Josh Myers, the center, is 4 yards past the line of scrimmage. Doesn't get called, okay? He's working downfield to go make a block on the mic. Rodgers is sitting in the pocket ready to throw. He rips a slant route, right? So Josh Myers, the center, is blocking Derek Barnes, who's the linebacker. Rodgers throws this ball, and it hits that linebacker directly in his helmet, right? He doesn't jump. He doesn't get a hand in the air. No, Rodgers throws it straight to his helmet, 5 yards in front of him. Ball flies in the air, and the rookie Kirby Joseph gets a pick, right? Rodgers kicking up dust, walking to the sideline. Final minute, right? Final minute of the first quarter. He actually does get a nice bomb down the field to Alan Lazard. Sets up a first and goal, right, from the 1. A.J. Dillon is stuffed on first down. Rodgers and Sammy Watkins have a miscommunication on a fade or a slant. It was either a fade route or a slant route versus a certain type of press coverage. They didn't see it the same way. Dillon is stuffed again on third down. So on fourth and goal, this is the play we were talking about before we started recording, Cordae. It was on fourth and goal from the 1, right? First play of the second quarter. Bakhtiari is the tackle eligible on the left side, and they run a play action to the strong side, which is to the right. Bakhtiari leaks out to the left after chipping Aiden Hutchinson. Rodgers then floats this, like, duck up in the air. Mm-hmm. Bakhtiari is 5 yards in the end zone as a lineman waiting to catch a ball, not knowing how to hold his water, right? They just look so awkward in those situations. And freaking Rodgers throws this thing in the air, and Aiden Hutchinson picks this off on the 1, and his momentum carries him into the end zone. Touchback. Back-to-back interceptions in his own end zone to start this game off against basically what's been the worst defense in the NFL from Aaron Rodgers, right? This is just – this stuff can't happen, right? This just – you don't expect this stuff to happen, but it did. The Packers did not score. Aaron Rodgers didn't score and on the worst defense in the league until 4:50 left in the third quarter, right? So they finally get a chance after a Jaire Alexander interception. They finally get a chance to be able to make amends, to be able to atone for what they done. And 2 plays later, Rodgers leaves the ball short on a deep post going to, I can't remember who number 83 is right now, Walker. And Kirby Joseph picks it off again. There are plays where Aaron Rodgers had A.J. Dillon wide open in the flat, doesn't decide to go to him. Had Aaron Jones wide open on inbreakers, ignores it, and then wants to scream and yell and point the finger at other people. It's just, it's a game where he had a position to be able to win it late. They got into the red zone. They got to the goal line, and nothing was able to suffice in terms of points for this team. So they only put up 9 on the day. Very ugly showing from him here. Jay, who gets yours?
Man, it got to be the squad, man. It got to be the Raiders.
What is going on?
It definitely got to be our squad. You know, it's crazy because, you know, me and you thought that this team could still potentially go 10-7 after they actually before they played the Texans or after they beat the Texans. I think it was before because we thought they can go on a run, you know, after they and had a disappointing start. But I mean, now you see, obviously that's not going to happen. I mean, they beat the Texans, and it's crazy because even with the Texans game, that was kind of scary. But because of the fourth quarter domination, you just felt like, okay, they blew them out. They did what they were supposed to do, and they were leading to the next game. That wasn't the case. Obviously, we know what happened last week. We didn't get to talk about it. That would have been my what's going on had we been able to record. That's not the case, so I'm going to talk about it now. Where to start? Where to start with this team? I mean, you could start with Derek Carr. You could start with, you know, the execution of the other players, the play calling from, you know, Josh McDaniels and Patrick Graham. To me, bro, it's just, you know, this is not the team that, you know, Raider fans thought that we were going to see. You know, we thought that we were going to see a team that was going to be really, really not just competitive, but winning football games. You know, we've seen what they were able to do last year with less talent. And now they have a team now that's more talented than they were last year. And now it's just, you know, it looks more like a rebuild. It looks like we're headed more to a rebuild. And I know Raider fans don't want to hear this, but this is just the truth. We're headed more to a rebuild than we are to a couple pieces away. You know, I think Derek Carr is declining. I don't know if Josh McDaniels is really the answer. You know, I at one point it felt like, okay, you know, the execution from the players. But then some of his play calls and how it's been over the last few weeks, you know, hasn't been that good, you know. And then you look at what the player said today. I don't know if you got to see or hear about the press conferences of Davante Adams and Derek Carr, especially Davante Adams, really. And that's the one I was able to that I heard, you know. I actually didn't even pay attention to it, but I'd seen it on Twitter and everything else. Things he was saying, and you know, he was just basically saying, bro, like, you know, players make an adjustment, the coaches have to do the same thing. And he didn't hold back on it, and he said he wasn't gonna hold back, because, and why would he? I mean, he's you know, he's still a top three wide receiver in the league. He has that much power, you know, to be able to say something about his head coach. Josh McDaniels hasn't proven himself. Davante has. I mean, he's been proving himself. So, you know, he actually is right about that, and I'm glad he did step up and say something, you know. So that when you lose a team, and I know what Mark Davis said last week, you know, he made it like, well, you know, Josh McDaniels is going to be the head coach for years to come or whatever. I know, I'm sure he meant it, because he don't want to be changing over head coaches and all of that, because we've been through that before and all that. He's trying to be consistent with it. But when you lose your locker room, you know, it's all bad from there. At that point, you have to get rid of some. You have to get rid of them. You know, so hopefully that's not the case. I mean, but that's what it, when you got main guys like Davante Adams and Derek, you know, Derek Carr is not going to, you know, he's too much of a nice guy to really throw anybody under the bus. But, you know, it's some of the things he said was kind of like, you know, underlining things and whatnot. So he's, you know, I'm sure he's feeling some type of way about it too, but he may not even come back. But the question will be is even if we go into a rebuild, will Mark Davis be willing to let Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler do that rebuild? And that, you know, because if you lost the team in 9 weeks, you know, what kind of trust should Mark Davis even have to give to Josh McDaniels to build a whole team? Yeah, he hadn't did anything, you know. Right. I mean, we've seen what happened in Denver, although that was a long time ago. And I was letting that go. That was a long time ago. You know, he came back. It seemed like second time around, you would have learned. And he did. I think he has a better relationship with his players. That was a downfall in Denver. But now it's getting to a point now where the losses are stacking up. And I don't know if he knows how to, you know, rebound from that. And then you just look at the players in general. This is why I say rebound. This is why I say where to start, because I started with Derek Carr. You could say that. But then you look at the offensive line, who we knew the offense. I didn't know the offensive line was going to be this bad. I had a feeling it would be kind of like what it was last year. But even the left side is okay. You know, every now and then they play well, and then sometimes they don't look that well. Colton Miller is not himself still. He's still our best offensive lineman, but that's not saying much, you know, because the other players are not really. Ferrum has played pretty well for a rookie, but, you know, I mean, he had his time today where, you know, he wasn't able to really, you know, the pass blocking is just not there for none of them.
Oh, even Andre James today. Freaking Devin Lloyd on that blitz. It was on like a third down. Devin Lloyd came straight up the A-gap, untouched.
Yeah, he got killed, bro. Andre James didn't look good at all today. This is probably one of his worst games since week 1, week 2, you know, or week 1. I think he got knocked. Yeah, week 1. So then your offensive line need pieces. You got 2 or 3 pieces you need to build on the offensive line. We know about the right tackle position. That's another thing with Josh McDaniels. We're in week 9, and he's putting in Jermaine Illuminor. Yeah. He's putting in, you know, Thera Mumford. You know, he's still changing over the right tackle position. They're not building nothing there. And at first, the first few weeks, it's like, okay, we get it. You're trying to get somebody to see who's playing the best. You're still, you know, unsure there. Now, we could have went and got somebody. It was players out there that we could have went out and get. We decided not to. So that's something to look at, too. So the right tackle. And then you look at the whole defense, man. The secondary is just trash. I mean, Trayvon Moehrig, somebody who I know I was high on, all I could do is really laugh, you know, because this is a guy, and just the whole secondary, but this is a guy right here who most people, not just Raider fans, but most people had him as a number one safety coming out of TCU. And when we picked him in the second round, that kind of made the draft better because, you know, that was when we selected Alex Leatherwood, we all knew that was a reach. We hated that pick. We see where he's at now, you know, and then we got Trayvon Moehrig, who we thought maybe we would get in the first. We got in the second. So, oh, yeah, okay, great value, you know, so on and so forth. But he just looks bad, man. I mean, he's not even near the players that he's covering. And that is coverage skills, which is something that he was really good at at TCU. You know, his tackling hasn't been there. You know, he's looking terrible.
That freaking Christian Kirk touchdown, bro.
Yeah, and Christian Kirk is not great.
He's not great.
He got paid too much money. What he got paid is how he played today. He actually, Trayvon made him look like the way he got paid today, which was too much money. But today he looked good, and it was against
him. Just like a regular corner, and Trayvon wasn't even in the vicinity. No, like he looked should have been out there with a wheelchair.
10 feet behind, bro. It was terrible. And like we talked about, Daron Harmon, he's our best safety. And he ain't that good. Shout out, you know, the pick six that he had, you know, a couple picks and all that. He missed a couple tackles. Avery, you know, I heard a Raver fan talking about Avery. We went out and got it. I already knew Avery wasn't that good. I just thought it was good for depth. But he ain't even good at that. I mean, you know, he's only been playing for the last – I know he's been out, whatever.
I think he had one PBU today, and I, like, was thinking to myself, is that his first pass breakup on the whole entire season?
Probably.
I think it is.
He missed a few games, and now he's been back for a few games, and it's almost like he still ain't out there because, he's not – it's like the guy's running free. Anybody that he's covering, you know, and the quarterbacks see that. So Hobbs is missed. Now, Rock's been playing well. I mean, I think it was last week's game. It was probably his worst game. But right. I think for the most part, he's played pretty solid.
Yeah, today he was the only guy in the secondary that came to show up.
Well, he's the only one that's been in the secondary that showed up this whole year.
Yeah.
This whole year. You know, the linebackers, even Denzel Perryman, like, I mean, you know, he's been missing tackles. He already wasn't good at covering, but you always can make up for the good hard hitting and stopping a run and just giving that energy. But, you know, he's been okay. You know, Blake Martinez, he's okay. You know, I mean, so, and then the defensive line, although we've been solid stopping the run, there's just no pass rush. I don't even want to bring up Chandler Jones. We've been talking about him. Everybody know how he's been playing. He hasn't did anything.
There's just a couple games, bro. We stuck.
Yeah, we there was a couple games where he set the edge and he did some good. I know in the Arizona game he did some good things. He set the edge and whatnot, but we didn't pay you that much money for a year deal for you to, you know, set the edge and stop the run every now and then. We paid you to get sacks, and he hasn't had not one. You know what I'm saying? So Max is the only one. Once again, Max is the only one on that side really doing anything, bro. So no rush up the middle from the defensive lineman, and no pass rush outside of Max. So this line with the defensive line, the offensive line, the secondary, you know, you need a couple of linebackers. When you get to talking like that, you need a QB. See, at first it was like, well, you know, maybe you need a QB, you know, and maybe a corner or whatever. You know, you had Hobbs. Hobbs hurt. And be honest with you, as much as I like Hobbs, as much as I thought he was going to be great this year, he played well at times. But that Chiefs game, his last game, he was terrible. That was his worst game. So your question now, and then I think this is Rock's. I think he'll be a free agent after this year, I believe. So they're going to have to make a move on that. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at almost a whole rebuild with this team. So I look at it like, what's going on with this team and with everything, you know, because now everything is in question. It's no longer where you could point out with offensive line and maybe a corner and maybe a safety. No, now it's two safeties, it's, you know, two corners maybe. It's maybe a QB, we need a whole new line for the most part outside of Colton, you know. So it's not looking good at all.
It's not at all. It's been pretty ugly over there, and it's just seemed like they're going to continue to precipitously fall and stack up more L's in that L column. So yeah, rebuild is more of what it's looking like, and that's just the sad truth, unfortunately, for the Silver and Black brethren. Corday, we'll swing it to you to close us out with the last one. What is your what's going on week 9?
Going back to what you was talking about, Jordan, Aaron Rodgers, man.
What is going on?
Finger pointing, finger blaming, cussing people out, and you the one throwing off your back foot. Like you said, David Bakhtiari is 5 to 7 yards in the end zone, and you throw it to the 1-yard line to get picked. And you cussing at people. It's just like, yo, what is going on? You've been throwing people on the bus all these few weeks. You said, we all keep trying and stuff like that. We're underdogs from here on out. Not only that, some people keep making mistakes. They might not need to be playing. Well, you made a bunch of mistakes today. Me might not need to be playing either, man. It's not looking good over there in Green Bay, man. Aaron Rodgers should have made a decision sooner. Maybe they would have kept some players. And then it's just still funny to me. Like the wide receivers they drafted probably should have took one in the first round. I've been saying that, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers, man, you ain't playing well at all. Just get it together, man. Get it together, man.
Needs to happen.
Yeah.
Well, we will catch back up with all the listeners for our week 10. Man, listen to that.
Yeah.
Week 10. We are in double-digit weeks right now. We are really starting to get a very good example of what teams are and what they aren't. Mm-hmm. We'll go ahead and define out the rest of the teams that are on the fringe of both categories. We'll see you guys Thursday morning for the week 10 preview. We appreciate you listening to the week 9 recap of the Cover Zero podcast.